So good morning, Rabbi. So continuing our discussion about introduction to Tu Bishvat. So the one thing to mention, which is quite well known, is that the Bnei Yisrael says that Tu Bishvat is the day when the trees are rejuvenating, and it's the beginning of the next year of Tevuah. Rov Gishmei, that most of the waters, most of the rainfall during the winter has already passed in Eretz Yisrael, and the trees are beginning to give, beginning a new cycle. So he says that this is a time when a person should daven for a nice esrog. It's a time when a person should be mispalel, that this year, Mi'at Hashem, when it will come to Sukkos, and I'm in the Moicha Esrogim there, and I'm looking through, the Rabbi Shem will bench me with a nice esrog. And it's interesting because the esrog is pre-Eitz Hador, and the Gemara Darshan's Hador bi'ilonoi mishono lashono, that the esrog doesn't have seasons. All the other fruit trees are actually dormant at the moment. There isn't any fruit on the trees. The shkedi or the almond is the first one. Hashkedi aporachat, you know the song? Yeah, the first one to start to blossom in the spring is the Shkedia, and we look for fruits in Chodesh Nisan. We look for the trees that are beginning to blossom in order to make Birchas Ilonos. So therefore, all the trees don't have any fruit on them in Eretz Yisrael during the winter. They're barren, but the Chazal took on that from Tu Bishvat onwards, they're starting with their new koichas of, you know, they're starting to infuse the fruits with. And here you've got a situation where the tree has fruit on it, but I presume Chazal understood that nevertheless, although it's an esrog tree, and we don't see that there is new fruit coming because it's constantly rejuvenating, nevertheless, it's a time to be daven. It's a time when we're thinking about Peiros or Ilon. It's a time when we're talking about the koichas of the Ilon. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we hope, will bless us with a nice esrog this year, Mi'at Hashem, and every year. Another thing to mention is as follows, seeing as we're coming towards, we finished our introduction about the inyonim of Tu Bishvat, and let's talk a little bit about Kadima Bibrochos. Right? People have a minag that they take out many, many peyrois. It says that the minag is to eat a lot of peyrois. I'm not quite sure if there is a makor for 15 peyrois, and if you paskin like Beis Shammai, that Rosh Hashanah Le'elonos is on Rosh Chodesh Shvat, does that mean that you should only eat one peyri? One fruit, because, you know, if Tu Bishvat is 15 peiros because it's the 15th of the month, I don't know. Certainly, in front of the Rebbe's, you see these huge platters of fruits with many, many more types than 15 fruits. And we have to discuss the dinim of Kedimo. The dinim of Kedimo, if I've got a platter of fruits in front of me and I want to start making brochas, obviously I want to make a Bo'er Pi'o'etz. But on which fruit am I going to make the Bo'er Pi'o'etz? And there are many, many competing issues which say that I should make maybe the brocha on this particular peri rather than on the other peri. So therefore, Belinado, over the coming days, we'll be looking at Din Kedima Brochos. Interestingly, we had a guest, a lady from abroad, who is studying, if you like. She's not Jewish, and she's studying to become a Gioris here under the London Beth Din. And she had a Faher last year from Diane Simons on the Dinim of Kedima Bebrochas. Before Tu Bishvat, right, he Fahered her on the Dinim of which Brochas come first. And she ate by me on that Shabbos table after that Faher. And I think she knew the halachas better than I knew them. She's not even Jewish. Yeah. So therefore, it's a bit of an embarrassment. So therefore, Belinado, over the next few days before Tu Bishvat, we'll try and clarify a little bit the dinim of Kedima Bebrochos when we get to our platters of fruit on Tu Bishvat.
Started the Torahway, Northwest London, Tuesday, Tes Teves, 27th of January, Ren Harav, Rav Ilan Halberstadt Shlita, Life After the Shiro. This week's Torah was sponsored by family Greenberg, Lippert, Somos of our mitzvah of Ari Greenberg, Nereyor, when this was last Shabbos, Yerotzim, Shisarov, was Kerr of Nachas, and Nikol Yosei, Chavazahem. Speaker is not as advertised.
Speaker not as advertised, what I say. Le'ini Nishmas, our esteemed founder, Rabbi Yosef Dov ben Rabbi Shimon Mechol.
I'd like to thank Josh Frankel for making tremendous effort always to find speakers. You should know that I only have to find speakers for the shul, Pesach and Sukkos, maybe a bit of Rosh Hashanah, and it is a headache. You have to find, just for one occasion, to find people for every yes, there's about five no's, and the speaker was supposed to be here today, wasn't able to make it, and when I got a phone call at 11:30 last night, and I had actually something that I needed to be at today, my heart went out, because I know how hard it is to get speakers, and it's a difficulty, and the truth is, I said, if you can find someone else, then good. He couldn't find anyone else. He made a lot of effort. And I wanted to give him a Hakaras HaTov for all his efforts that he puts in, and all those that put in efforts to find people every day. It's not an easy thing. And therefore, I'm here instead. But really, as a Hakaras HaTov, because it's not easy to put this up every day, day in, day out. So let's have a look at something from B'Shalach. And I was thinking, you know, what was it like to wake up the morning after Kriyas Yamsuf? Kriyas Yamsuf, one of the highlights of all of history. We come out of Mitzrayim, we're by Kriyas Yamsuf, and then we have this incredible level. What must have been the day after? The stomach breakfast was quite an interesting conversation. The Olim were talking about yesterday's nes. But the truth is, if you look at the Psukim, Klal Yisrael, immediately after the experience, we go 3 days without water, and we're not able to cope. We start complaining. There's no water. We want to get back to Mitzrayim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was very soft and clearly saw at the beginning. This is very different to the complaints when it comes to Bamidbar, Balaischa, the complaints there. Then we get hit hard. But here, we're just beginning the journey, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very kind to us, because we're just starting out. And although these complaints were therefore wrong, but nonetheless, Hashem ad Rachmanus. Now, it's an interesting process, because what were we supposed to do the day after Kriyas Yamsuf? What was the process? Because Baruch Hu answers, the answer to your problem, as we'll see, is going to be the Mon. Today is Parshas Hamon, although I don't know why it's Tuesday, it should have been on a Monday, surely. But either way, it's Tuesday, is the skula to say Parshas Hamon. Now, so we're going to speak about the Mon a little bit as well. The Mon is going to be the solution. But the problem is that we felt a tremendous void. Yes, we went 3 days without Mayim, and on Kipshutoi, we wanted to have water. Obviously, you haven't got water to drink, you're finished. But it's much more than that. The Torah speaks always on multiple levels. So physically, we're speaking about Mayim, but as we all know, a Mayim Ela, Torah. That really they were asking for Ruchnius. And how do we know that that's true, besides the fact that Chazal say a Mayim Ela Torah, that the Psukim tell us that Moshe Rabbeinu is instructed, what happens? He has to throw this eight into the water, and it makes it sweet. And there, they were taught halachas. They're already taught Torah. So, although they asked for water, the response is water plus Torah. That's very clear, that we understand that they were asking for more than just water, whether they knew about this or not, they were clearly asking for Ruchnius. Because what happens the day after an amazing experience like Kriyas Yamsuf is you want that again. You want that again. What could be more of a down-to-earth bump than the day after Kriyas Yamsuf? We want it again. Yesterday we saw unbelievable Giluyim, but how could we continue as normal? We want to be able to have that experience on a daily basis. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu first says, you've got to teach them Torah. Because a Yiddish neshama, the food of the neshama, is the Torah. That's what will feed the spiritual need of Klal Yisrael. And therefore we have to be taught Torah. And then we have the Parsha of the Mon. And the Mon is going to be the solution to this as well. But let me, before we get to the solution, let me describe what is going on here. In every process, you find that initially you have a process of inspiration, of a beginning, and then you have a letdown afterwards. And then that's when the work begins. A person, when the kids start their new year, if you ever go to want to see a kid's book, Don't look at the first page. The first page is always neat. You open up the book. The first page of the year of the work. It's always neat. It's always beautiful. Everything's done very beautifully. You want to see how they're doing? Forget the first page. Go look further in the book. You see it seems to get a little bit more messy and scribbles and who knows what's going on. That's where they're really holding by the middle of the book. Because the inspiration, the beginning, dies down. The beginning of the year, Rosh Hashanah, we all take on new Kabbalahs, and we're ready, and we're Ovdei Hashem, we're never going to do any Chatoim ever again. And it doesn't seem to last so long. It seems to, we lose that inspiration. Or whenever you have moments of inspiration, you can just touch it, and you hold it there for a second, and you want to hold on to it, and yet you find yourself back in grey skies, and you think to yourself, Ovdei, how am I going to get through the winter? This is the process Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us when a child is in utero. Kadosh Baruch Hu shows every Uba. He's taught the whole of Kol HaTorah Kula, all of the Torah. All of Torah is there. And then, what happens? Bar Malach v'Socha Alpiv, as he's about to be born into this world, and the Malach strikes him on the mouth, and he forgets all of it. He was given everything. Ah! You had the experience of everything. But then it was taken away. But the reason why it was taken away is because when you were given everything, it was a gift. It was a gift. And a gift is very nice, but a gift is not you. Not only that, a gift is against the purpose of existence. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us in order that we should earn our existence. If Hashem wanted to give us the schar without any work whatsoever, He would have put us straight in Olam Haba. There would be no reason for Olam Hazeh, no reason for this world. No reason for the ups and downs and the battle with the Yetzirah and the difficulties and the challenges. There would be no reason for all of that. Hashem could have created us, put us straight in the Olam Haba, and that would have been wonderful. But Hashem b'chokhmasai decided that a person has to come into this world and he needs to work and he needs to make an effort and he needs to be able to overcome all the difficulties and challenges and everything, the battle with the Bechira of a free will. And then if you're successful, then you've earned your own existence. And that's the tachlis of this world. So the freebies are not a Jewish concept. It's not an ideal. HaKadosh Baruch, why did Hashem give us the freebie? Why does Hashem show you first the inspiration? Why did He teach us all the Torah in utero? To show you that you have it inside of you. You have it, now you've got to work for it. Let's go to Yetzias Mitzrayim and we'll see, this is what happens. Klal Yisrael come out of Mitzrayim. Now it's interesting because even in Yetzias Mitzrayim, there's two stages. There's coming out of Mitzrayim, Eser Makos, unbelievable, phenomenal miracles. And then we have the week, and now we hit Parshas Beshalach. We have a week later, Kriyas Yom Suf. Why did it happen in two stages? Why was it not first at the end of the Eser Makos, maybe straight away? And why was there a week in between? What's the two stages here? If you look closely, you'll see that there's a... Although when we came to come out of Mitzrayim, we did have to bring a Korban Pesach just to be able to identify ourselves. It should be an ois that you should identify as a yid. As the Pasuk says, the dam on the doorpost wasn't for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He knows exactly which house is Jewish, which one isn't. In fact, Rashi says they put it on the inside of the doorpost. It's for you. That you should realize that I'm part of the Jewish people. If you identify as part of the Jewish people, you can be zeichet to come out. That's all you needed to do. That's all you needed to do. There wasn't much to do besides that. But that's called a freebie. In other words, Yetzias Mitzrayim and the Eser Makos were not done because we deserved it. On the contrary, Chazal tell us we won the Memtei Shari Tuma. We didn't deserve what took place. Now, what's the problem, so to speak, with that? Anything that's not earned is against the Bria, and it doesn't last. It doesn't last. I explain to you, in my house, almost every week I say this ki'ilu, vot. I say almost, depends if we've got new people, I mention it, but I always think about it. We bring out the cholent, and the cholent from the hot pot, the crock pot, and the cholent remains hot in this big earthenware, you know, container, it remains hot for how long? A couple of hours. Hours after you've taken it out. It's still hot. It's very hot when you first take it out, very hot, and it remains hot for hours afterwards. And I always comment that when you put something in the microwave, you can get it hot in about 2 minutes. Very hot, 2-3 minutes, depending on how good your microwave is. Very hot, and then what happens? Give it 5 minutes later, it cools down very quickly. When you go up very quickly, you come down very quickly. But slow cooking, slow, cholent cooking, where we've cooked for hours and hours and hours, that heat is retained for hours and hours and hours. Slow cooking, that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. Hashem wants, Avodas Hashem, that's not quick fixes, quick up, quick down. That's what the world wants. The world wants quick fixes, right? As they used to say, everyone wants to be a Talmid Chacham in one night and get a good night's sleep. It's like everything. You want all at once. You want quick fixes. That's how the world works. If I could get it quickly, but nothing genuine in life, nothing can be attained quickly. Yeah? And therefore, Hashem wants the cholent pot. Slow process. Now when Klal Yisrael have come out of Mitzrayim, at that point, it's all done for us, because Baruch Hu does Esamachus, blows us apart. We are mamash taken up to the highest level. But the only problem with it is we didn't earn any of it. We didn't have the muscle, we were only young. So what happens next? HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to start the training. And the first training is that after a week, we're petrified. Paro comes after us, he's chasing us, we think we're surrounded. What do? And we cry out to Hashem. That sounds like a good thing to do. That is a good thing to do, to cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's for sure good. But then, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, which itself is interesting. What do you mean, why do you cry out to me? What is the Yid supposed to do? He's supposed to cry out to Hashem. They davened, you've done the davening. But what's next? What's next is, just go. Hashem says, just go. Well, go where? The only thing in front of us is the sea. You've got to just go. Whoever went in first. But we needed to jump in. Why? Because this required Klal Yisrael demonstrating emunah. We needed to flex our muscle a little bit, start the training, and that we need to actually do something. The difference between Yetzias Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yom Suf, one of the differences, is that Kriyas Yom Suf had to begin through Klal Yisrael doing something. Klal Yisrael had to do something. Daba b'nei Yisrael v'Yisrael. This is not going to happen until they do something. They're going to step up. Flex the muscle a little bit, trying to work the emunah muscle. Help, what's going on? You've cried out, that's a good start, that's what you do. But now, Vaita, you've just got to go. You've got to show that you're going to demonstrate emunah in the world. You've got to demonstrate that Klal Yisrael are willing to jump into the sea for the sake of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Oh, and when that happens, the sea splits. Oh, and then do they get Giluyim? Whoa, phenomenal revelation. Phenomenal. And then, they were able to say Shira. How could it be that the Jewish people were able to be mechavin to the words of the Shira, that are the words of the Torah? It's unbelievable. As we say, Sfasemes are my favorite Sfasemes. Sfasemes says always, since you mentioned it, that Rashi brings Ola Bilibul Ashir. They wanted to sing. Every Rashi's answering a question because it says Oz Yoshir. Then he will sing. But so therefore Rashi's commenting, then they decided they wanted to sing. But everything you do, you've decided beforehand to do. Why is the Torah pointing it out here? Says the Sfasemes, because a Yid can't be mechavim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's words. You can't. Oh, but you can have the Rotzayn. Ola b'libo l'ashir. They wanted to sing. Oh, and then Hashem gave it to them. And it's credited with them. Oz Yoshi Moshe b'nei Yisrael sashir azoyis. It's Moshe b'nei Yisrael's shira. Because it came from them. But where did it start from? Because they were the ones that jumped into the sea. So because Klal Yisrael put in the effort, Memela, they were able to then be the ones to be Ola b'libo l'ashir. It again came from them. And they were zeichet to say shira. So stage one takes place with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Stage one is the miracles happening to us. We watch as HaKadosh Baruch Hu does the Tzach HaDash B'Achav, all the Esemachus. But stage two is then where we step up at Kriyas Yom Suf. And then the sea splits and we're able to say Shira. That was a tremendous lesson for Klal Yisrael. Perhaps we didn't actually get the full message, because immediately after that, the day after, it's Ke'ilu. Life is normal. Life can't be normal after Kriyas Yom Suf. There's no back to regular mundane activity after that. So what happens next? Klal Yisrael are desperate. It's not just they don't have water. They want to experience it again. But remember the rule. The rule is, you've got to make the effort. The Tachlis HaBriya, the purpose of this world, is that it should come from man. That man should actually make the effort. Not that Hashem should do it all for us. of course we all prefer Hashem to do all for us. Yeah, of course. But the tachlis is that we should make the effort. So 3 days go, and Hashem says, they're asking for water, but what they're really asking for is Torah. They're asking for the spiritual thirst. That's what they're thirsty for. Teach them Torah. And then, the response is the mon. Hinni mamti lechem lechem in ha-shamayim. Veloktu dvayoyim b'yoymoy. What is the chiddush of the mon? The mon was a spiritual food, as we know. It tasted whatever you wanted it to taste. But only for those that were on the spiritual level. The Gemara tells us that the mon came right outside your door if you were a tzaddik. If you were not a tzaddik, it would be a bit further away. If you've been doing Averus, it would be even further away. I mean, you can imagine, you know, the guy gets up in the morning, aha, Yankel's going all the way down there. Oh, what that guy been up to? You can imagine, it's like it's a serious, demands a lot of a person, you know? You'll know exactly who the tzaddikim were and the rishoyim were. How near is the mon? So the mon arrives on the doorstep, but it's a munah. The lashon of mon is lashon of emunah, the Sfarim say. Emunah, to mean to show emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Meaning to say that, yes, Hashem wants you to trust. You're not allowed to save over from one day to the next. You've got food today, you should be happy today. Don't put it away for the next day. You're not allowed to. You have mon today? Every day. Dvayayim b'yayimai. The emunah muscle must be, every day you have to trust Hashem. What's going to be? How am I going to know tomorrow whether it's going to come? You know, the people, they get so worried. Unless they've got everything worked out for the rest of their life with absolute epi cheshbon, you know, that they can't live. Kol tuv, you can't live in such a world. We can plan as much as you want, but it's Hashem's world. And then the only thing they didn't plan for, they took out every single possible cover to everything, and boom, something different happened, and if only I would have prepared for that one. Maybe a little bit of emunah is also in place. Emunah. Emunah in Hashem is to trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That was the dvayayim b'yayimai, the daily mon that Klal Yisrael were given. And how many years do we have the mon for? 40 years. 40 years it took. That means to say, the quick fixes up and the quick down, that's all very nice. And it's incredible and it's spectacular. But it's not what's going to actually build you. It's the slow process. The slow process, one after the other, where you're going to every day show the emunah in the mon. That's what's going to build you. That's actually a daily basis. You know, we live in a world where it's all about razzmatazz and glory and fanfare. But it's not a Jewish concept. While Kadosh Baruch Hu's machshiv is a person's daily avodah. When a person does things that are valuable and meaningful, not necessarily on a big scale, not necessarily with fanfare, on the contrary, Hatznei Alechesim Hashem Lekecha, the day in, day out, that's why Kadosh Baruch Hu's machshiv, Dvayom B'yomer, that flexes the muscle of emunah. And then we come. This is why, that's why it's the solution. Because you have stage one. Stage one is the inspiration. And then you'll find yourself after you create Samsuf. And the next stage is always is the mon, the midday yom b'yomai. And that's going to get you through that stage. That's what Hashem wants. My father-in-law always brings the marshal. He speaks about this in the Rabbi Tatz in his book on the Living Inspired, worthwhile getting the book. And one of the things he mentions there always is the concept of if you want to teach a child to walk, so what do? A little child, you pick him up by the hands and he starts to walk. And at that moment, the kid who's normally been crawling around with his head straight in the carpet or the floor, now all of a sudden he's upright and he's walking and he's smiling and giggling and he's top of the world. And the father's holding the hand, and you take him for a couple of steps. And it's marvelous. Nothing could be better. And then what happens next? The father lets go. I'm not going to stand here the rest of my life holding you. You need to learn to walk on your own. And the father lets go, and the kid takes one waddle and another one, and flat on the ground. And at that point, he must be thinking to himself, how cruel, how nasty. I was top of the world, and he just lets me go. But really, what's actually happening, there's a greater love in the letting go than in the holding of the hands. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu holds our hands, it's a wonderful thing, but then he wants us to grow. So he withdraws a little bit so that we can be able to walk on our own. That's what Hashem wants. And in fact, what happens is, yes, And kids are amazing. Babies are amazing. I once heard from somebody who said, imagine you had to learn to walk at age like 30 or something. Yeah. So you'd get up, you'd try a little bit, then you'd let go and you'd fall on the floor and you'd say, forget this. What Zimmer frames have they got out there? I've got to get the best one that's going to take me around. You'd give up straight away, but kids are resilient. They have this simple sachaim. They fall, they cry, but they're up again. And they fall again, and they're up again. They keep falling and up and down, and then they get it. And they're there. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. Now you have to give the kid the experience first of standing on his own 2 feet walking, because that's how he gets the taster. If he never had that experience, then what's he working towards? He doesn't have anything to actually push him. That's the same with Kali Yisrael. We experience Kriyas Yamsuf, the Esther Makos and Kriyas Yamsuf. And that was unbelievable. Now you know what you're working towards. Now you know what it's worth. It's, whoa, is it worth it? Now Hashem says, now I want you to do it yourself. I want you to go through day in, day out. Of the Emunah is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. Hashem wants a person's Emunah. Not that he should turn on all the lights for us, but that we should be the ones to turn on the lights. And in fact, it's a very deep topic, this. And there's lots to say on it, but we don't have that much time. But let me just briefly point out a couple of things. And that is, Shabbos Kodesh, as much as we prepare for Shabbos, and you have to prepare for Shabbos, Mi Shayocha v'Shabbos, Mi Shatoch v'Erev Shabbos v'Yocha v'Shabbos, that's true. But at the same time, we make Havdalah on Matzei Shabbos. Because Shabbos is a Matana Toiva. It's a Matana. It's a gift. There's a certain aspect in Shabbos that you get that's above and beyond. It's Ruchnius that's above what we are. And when that goes, Vay Avdal Nefesh, the Gemara says. Shavas Vayinafash, after Shabbos, you need Vay Avdal Nefesh. You need Vay Avdal Nefesh. And that is, that's a person's... Thank you. Shkech. Yeah, that is a person... A person needs Vay Avdal Nefesh after Shabbos. Thank you very much. You need the besomim. The besomim. Right? A person needs besomim because you've lost a little bit of chius, what we call in my house at least, Motzei Shabbos syndrome. You know what Motzei Shabbos syndrome is. You feel like a little bit flat after Shabbos. Shabbos is gewaldig. And then you feel that Motzei Shabbos. How do you feel it? Motzei Shabbos, you feel it on Sunday, somewhere around. It comes in somewhere. So you have besomim. You know why you feel that vay avdal nefesh? Because it was given as a gift. A matana, when someone's given as a gift above you, then you lose it somewhat. That's why the Sfasemeh says that after Yom Tov, you don't smell besomim. Because after Yom Tov, because you have to put effort into coming to Yom Tov, alil regel, and there's also the effort that one has to put, you make the Yom Tov. So therefore, that stays with you more. I would take the Sfasemeh as another stage further. Purim, on Purim, they wanted to make it a Yom Tov. They wanted. But it was never made a Yom Tov. And it's not clear why it wasn't made a Yom Tov. But if you learn the Oimek of what Purim is, Dafka, the Nes of Purim, is Dafka in the weekdays. It's Dafka in a world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not revealed. It's Hester. And Dafka, they realized HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that world. It's specifically in the world where Hashem's name is hidden in the whole Megillah. And it's also what's called Iserusa Dilatata. It came from Klal Yisrael. The whole Nes Purim came because Klal Yisrael did tshuva. It's the exact opposite of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Yetzias Mitzrayim, Hashem turns on all the lights. But the Tachlis Abriya is Purim. The Tachlis Abriya is when the Yidden realize we made a mistake, we've got to do tshuva, and our Avodah is going to make a difference. And it does. It changes the whole world. But it all came from Iserusa Dilatata. And that is the Tachlis Abriya, when Klal Yisrael do what we're supposed to. And that's why perhaps they didn't make it a Yom Tov, because it's Dafka, a weekday thing. It's not a Matana. There's no Matana about Purim. And that's why all the Yom Tov will be bottled, but Purim will remain, because it came from us. Matana is come and go. A gift can be given, but then it goes away. If you haven't earned it, it doesn't stay. Oh, but Purim was totally earned. And therefore, it never went away. And therefore, they didn't want to make it a Yom Tov. Because if you make it a Yom Tov, then it doesn't fit. It's incongruent with the day itself. And it's brought down in Halacha, it's brought down very beautifully. On Motzei Shabbos, we dafka say psukim from the Megillah. Dafka we say, La'yehudah ma'is'ayre v'simcha v'sasim v'kar, k'ein t'elonu. Why do we speak about the psukim from the Megillah? Dafka here on Motzei Shabbos. Because Motzei Shabbos, you're going into the weekday. You want to know? Oy vey, I've lost Shabbos. How am I going to get through the week? You want to know how you're going to get through the week? Purim dik. Purim dik. There's a gewaltige meiler in the week. Of course, it's incomparable to Shabbos Kodesh and the Heilige Shabbos Kodesh. But Shabbos Kodesh is one day a week to give you the inspiration so that you can then go into the week and live life through Isserus de la Tata. That you can bring a Kodesh Baruch into a world where he's not giving you a matana. Who teaches us this? Don't forget, it was light for the Yidden. When? In the Purim story. That's what a Yid can achieve. That's Dafka weekday-ish. That's Dafka b'mei achol. Dafka on after Shabbos, where you feel like, how am I going to get through the week? You have to remember Purim, because Purim is about the emunoscha b'aleilos. It's about putting your effort when Klal Yisrael can step up. And of course, that leads to the end of the parasha. The end of the parasha, where we're told, Klal Yisrael say, we're given one test after another. Of course you have to be given a test, because that's Klal Yisrael showing their colors. But then Klal Yisrael say, Hayesh Hashem b'kubeinu im ayin. Is Hashem b'kubeinu? Is Hashem with us? Now they're not asking, does Hashem exist? They just had Kriyas Yam Suf and all Esamakas. They're unbelievable. But it's Hayesh Hashem b'kubeinu. Well, I can bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu into this world? Who am I? When you doubt that you can bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu into this world, that's Hayesh Hashem b'kubeinu, is Hashem inside of us, im ayin. I know HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do all these nisim, but what I have the ability to bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu into this world, when you doubt that, Vayava Amalek, then Amalek comes. Exactly Amalek, Purim, Amalek, and Mamash is all the same thing. Because you doubt the ability. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created you, that you, it's not HaYesh Hashem B'Kubeinu, it's Yesh Hashem B'Kubeinu. And of course you can do it. And what happens? B'chalonu Anoshim, says Moshe to Yeshua, Dafka Yeshua. Moshe can't do the fighting. Moshe is the clarity of the day. Yeshua is the moon, compared to the moon. And Klal Yisrael, Imenos Chabaleilois, against Amalek. And what does it say? Dafka uses this Loshen, that the Yod of Moshe were Emunah. But the Yod of Emunah at Boya Shemesh. It's all about Emunah. The Emunah is what's going to vanquish Amalek. And it's the Emunah of the Mon, and the Emunah that shows that it's Klal Yisrael's Kayach to bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu into this world. It's not HaYesh Hashem B'Kubeinu, it's Yesh Hashem B'Kubeinu. And therefore, how do we move on from after Kriyas Yam Suf? It's a taster. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the inspiration of stage one. That was the Nisim of Yetzias Mitzrayim. But that was in order that we can then go into stage two, that we can actually be the ones to have them on every day in Shoah Emunah, to go into the weekday and bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the weekday, to be Purim Dik, to vanquish Amalek, to understand it's a Yesh Hashem, it's Yesh Hashem B'Kubeinu. And when we do that, then we will be successful, we'll get to Yemei Samashiach. All of history is these three stages. It started with Adam Rishon in Gan Eden. Absolutely everything was clear. Ever since that first day, we've come crashing down. 6,000 years of more or less Emunos Chabaleilois. Okay, Yetzias Mitzrayim, a Matan Torah in between, absolutely, a Beis HaMikdash. But comparable, in comparison, it's basically stage two. But all of that is HaKadosh Baruch Hu cheering us on and saying, "You want you to put that effort in." Because when you put that effort in, that's what's Chaviv to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that will lead us to that last stage, which is when we'll get to the Yemei Samashiach, we'll get to that clarity, but this time not as a gift, as earned through our hard work. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will say, "You deserve the reward, both in this world and the next world." And Yemei Samashiach should come speedily. Amen. 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 Once again, I want to thank Josh, again, now that you're here. Thank you very much, guys. I tell you for all your efforts that you put in.
Now you know what it is.
Now you know what the target is. Go back to Mitzrayim. Yes.
I don't know for sure, but expressing.